You're listening to the Weekend Sport Podcast with Jason Pyne from Newstalk ZB.
And talking the issue of Qatari investment in world rugby competitions, Felix Jacobs is head of campaigns and individuals at risk at Amnesty International UK, the human rights charity. He's Amnesty's main spokesperson on sports washing issues, particularly with regard to Saudi Arabia and Qatar. And he joins us now. Felix, thanks for your time. What was your reaction, first of all, to the news that Qatar is keen to host the finals of rugby's new Nations Championship from the year 2026 on?
Well, first, I'm surprised. Qatar and the other Gulf states have been investing massively in sport, from football to tennis, rugby and boxing. So very unsurprising that they'd want to host a prestigious tournament like this. That's the first thing to say. And then secondly, that again, Amnesty as an organisation with concern for the human rights situation across the Middle East and in Qatar in particular, we'll be raising very similar concerns to those that we raised around the Football World Cup. So ensuring that if this tournament does take place in Qatar, all protections are in place for all the people who are responsible for delivering that. So that's people if they're building or upgrading or changing the stadiums, all the people that service those people, so cooks, drivers, security guards, and everybody who's involved with the tournament have their human rights protected. Also, just to bring into the wider context that rugby as a game will be being tempted into taking the money, from Qatar, but to be fully aware that this is part of a wider agenda around the use of sport to gloss over poor human rights records.
Do you expect World Rugby to take the money?
Well, FIFA did, the PGA Tour did. So in the end, most of the sporting organisations that we've seen have ended up taking money. And we know that World Rugby is not a governing body that is flush with cash. It's one that is struggling. There are unions close to going bust. There are clubs across the world that are struggling. So I wouldn't be surprised, given how much these guys pay to play. It's extremely high. So it seems likely World Rugby will as well. But if they do, they should be fully aware of both their obligations from a human rights perspective, again, in terms of the people who are actually delivering the tournament. So all of those, again, who are involved with building the stadiums, making the games happen, all those workers, but also that rugby is then being drawn into the kind of sports washing system, which is to use the sport, use the reflected kind of glamour and the glory of hosting the tournament to brush over some of those human rights issues.
So just on the second part of that, Felix, do you think World Rugby see this as, or even care about, being, as you put it, drawn into the sports washing activities of Qatar?
It's hard to know whether World Rugby would care or not. But I think, and this is a conversation that whenever we talk about sports washing comes up, it's about what does the game mean to people? What are the ethos? What's the ethos and the values of the sport that's going to go and sort of take this kind of cash? And what platform do they then have to call out the human rights abuses? So World Rugby's ultimate objective is to the game of rugby. And it's understandable if they need this level of investment to keep tournaments like this viable so that players can get paid and the game can continue to grow. I understand that. I'm a rugby fan myself. It's very, you can see the rationale. But if that is going to be the case, they need to, firstly, again, guarantee the human rights of the people involved, but also perhaps be prepared to speak out about some of the human rights situations that they find in the country. So we saw some of the national unions doing this around the Football World Cup. So the FAs, several of the FAs raised human rights concerns ahead of the tournament. Some of them tried to have emblems on their shirts or messaging on their shirts about the human rights situation. World Rugby could do a lot by, for example, allowing teams and unions to make their own decisions about those kind of things, and also to potentially speak publicly about the need for change in a country like Qatar.
Is there also the opportunity for World Rugby to make this deal conditional on investigations into the deaths of migrant workers while they were building the stadiums that, look, World Rugby is going to be using? They were initially, of course, built for the 2022 FIFA World Cup, but many migrant workers died during the construction of those stadia, or compensation for some of those workers who suffered labour abuses during that time. Could World Rugby make this whole thing conditional on those things?
Yeah, I mean, that's a call that Amnesty International is making on World Rugby if they do go down this route. And it's one that we've been continuing to make on the Qatari authorities first and foremost, also on FIFA. And then if World Rugby does go ahead with this, then absolutely they should be putting pressure on the authorities there to compensate those thousands of migrant workers and their families who lost their lives or been injured in the delivery of those stadiums.
We just spoke with former New Zealand rugby chair Brent Impey. He made the point that countries are free to trade with the likes of Qatar and Saudi Arabia. So what is the difference with sporting organisations doing commercial deals with them?
Well, I think from Amnesty's perspective, there is no immediate difference. Like, they are equally free to trade with them. And the obligation for any business that's doing any organization that's doing business in a country is to do their human rights due diligence and ensure that, like, through the supply chain or through the delivery of their business functions, that there aren't human rights violations taking place. The difference between, you know, normal business investments and sporting investments is that there's a massive PR element that comes around sport that's different from just an ordinary business investment. People love sport. By buying into sport, they buy that goodwill of the fans, of the people who want to see these spectacles taking place, and they leverage that. They use that as a PR opportunity to promote a narrative about their country or about their human rights record or about what Qatar is like as a place that is contrary to the reality on the ground and overlooks the awful treatment of many people that are in those countries, LGBT people, women, migrant workers who have really suffered over the past 10 years in Qatar around the delivery of the World Cup, but in general. So there is a different obligation on sporting organisations because the kind of, you know, the soul of sport is wrapped up in that passion and that positive story. And by allowing it to be hijacked, these sporting organisations kind of, they give something else away. And we've always said that that's the wider purpose of these sporting investments is to do that airbrushing of that human rights record. And so sporting bodies, sports people, unions, everyone involved should be aware of that at least. And we would always say be willing to speak out about it.
Okay, then. Well, just on that thing, World Rugby are probably going to take the money. I think we can all probably agree that they will take the money. But could New Zealand Rugby, and by extension the All Blacks, make a stand similar to what you referenced before with teams at the recent FIFA World Cup?
Exactly, absolutely. The All Blacks is one of the biggest sporting brands in the world. Their endorsement of Qatar as a country, you know, by going and whatever they say about it will be picked up and repeated by the Qatari authorities ad nauseum, right? So, you know, they've got a huge platform around any tournament like this. Any statements that they make about solidarity with the migrant workers or their families who lost their lives in the building and delivery of the stadiums, of LGBTQ plus people, I'm sure the All Blacks have inclusion initiatives inside New Zealand. So to put some of those messages out there around the tournament and their participation, it would be huge.
Do you think the concept, the practice of sports washing is continuing to grow, to gain momentum?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this process goes back quite a long way. And Saudi, Qatar and UAE are the three biggest players in kind of sport as a driver of positive PR. There's no question about it. In terms of getting better, I mean, in terms of the human rights situations in those two countries, in Saudi Arabia, categorically no, this human rights situation is getting worse. Everything Amnesty and our partners are seeing is a massive deterioration in human rights across the board. The sports washing program there is really working because Saudi's economy is changing, is diversifying, which is their objective. But they're able to do that because of the kind of the positive PR and the positive relationships that they're developing in the international community. The pressure on them to reform is much, much lower. So Saudi, and they're able to therefore get away with much more internally. Like, it's really, really repressive. Qatar's a slightly different story. The World Cup was so big, was so high profile, and there was so much attention and pressure put on particularly the issue of migrant workers that some reforms did take place in Qatar. We have seen some improvements in the human rights situation there for workers. The level of scrutiny that came with the FIFA World Cup was just so high that they couldn't avoid reform in the end. They were awarded the World Cup in 2010, and we didn't really see any meaningful change until after 2020. So there were 10 years of work on those stadiums where absolutely nothing was changing. They effectively have like an indentured worker system then. So people would arrive, their passport would be taken away. They'd be told, you owe your employer $10,000. You have to work that debt off before you get paid. You can't change jobs without your employer's permission. You're working 18 hours a day, 365 days a year under the Qatari sun, you know, and people were literally dying on those sites. So yes, eventually some small changes did take place, but then all of the compensation issues, all of the issues around those people who were injured and who could no longer work, they still remain, they're all outstanding. So yeah, there's some improvements, but the picture is definitely mixed.
Just to finish, Felix, is there anything that the average New Zealand rugby fan who is listening to this today can do about any of this?
This is a question that comes up all the time when we looked at like the Saudi takeover of Newcastle, for example. And it's always difficult because it's not the fans' decision where these things take place. And they want to see their teams and their sporting heroes be successful. And I'm a sports fan. I want to see England be successful. I completely understand the decisions that they have to take as governing bodies and as sports people. But what's, you know, the if you think about this as a PR exercise, what sports fans, what New Zealand rugby fans can do is find out the reality of the situation in Qatar. Read some Amnesty reports, read some Human Rights Watch reports. Find out what it's actually like for LGBT people, for those migrant workers, for women in the country. And, you know, make a decision for themselves about what level they want to go and support that. If they don't think that, you know, if they think there's some of those issues to raise them, it doesn't mean that they can't still support New Zealand. It doesn't mean they can't go to Qatar and enjoy that tournament. But be aware of what is going on. Understand and recognise that there's a wider agenda at play here, which is about kind of brushing over that stuff.
Felix, thank you so much for joining us across New Zealand. You've given us some real perspective and balance. Really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
That's Felix Jakins, Head of Campaigns and Individuals at Risk at Amnesty International in the UK.
For more from Weekend Sport with Jason Pyne, listen live to News Talk ZB weekends from midday or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.